Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline, here's Ray Ferraro. What do you make of PK Subban's name being out there?
I wouldn't say I'm surprised. I believe that Nashville prioritizes Yossi, Ekholm, Ellis in front of Subban, and they've got to try and make some money work. And if he can, I mean, that's 3 years still at $9 million, right? Mm-hmm. Left for him.
Yeah.
And I'm not really surprised. I mean, I know he's a gigantic name. I don't see him as effective as a player as he used to be. And that's not just because of his injury. I mean, last year gets thrown in the blender a little bit because he was banged up and he never really was quite right physically. But I don't see him as the player that he used to be just even a couple of years ago. He's 30 years old, right? And he's had a lot of miles on him, and I don't disregard his abilities, but I don't know that I'd want to spend $9 million on my cap on PK Subban, because you can't separate one from the other, right? Like, I know, like, don't you think, like they're now, it's at the point where it all matters. It doesn't, you can't say, oh, I like the player but not the cap hit. Well, that means it doesn't matter if you like the player. Then it's, you look at the whole picture, and I don't want to spend $9 million on my cap on PK Subban.
Yeah. But that is the reality in a hard cap situation.
You can't even dance around it.
No, but we judge players now on what they make. Because do they live up to their contract? I mean, all we talked about in the last couple of days, Kevin Hayes, 7.1, quite rich. Is he going to live up to it? Well, maybe he does, maybe he doesn't. But, you know, William Nylander, wow, that's a lot of money for a guy who didn't do much. Mitch Marner wants this. And it's all about money. And that's why, Brian, and I thought we had that, a pretty good chat the other day, was it 2 days ago, where we were actually just looking at players, like players and ages, not money. And, you know, I like PK Subban. You're right. Now at 30 years old, there's some mileage on him. It's interesting the minute you said 30, because Shea Weber, he missed almost a calendar year of hockey and hit the ground running.
And he's 4 years older than PK.
But he doesn't show any signs. I don't think Shea was really fast to start off with, but I think he's going to age like Chara. I think he'll be able to adapt to the game for the strengths. He's never going to be fast enough to win a guy, beat a guy in a foot race, but he's going to be strong enough to battle position. So it may not look as bad. I know there's a ton of people that are like, oh, how could have Bergevin done that for Weber, for Subban? They both could age kind of the same. When you think about it,
see, you mean Weber and Chara?
I'm sorry, yeah, Weber and Chara. But I'm talking, yeah. Subban now is at 30, and he looks like he's starting to slow down a little bit. Looks a little bit different, like you said.
His game is different.
Correct.
Right? His game is, you know, has been being elusive and agile and bold with the puck, and unless there's a different game in there, I don't know that. I don't know that it can age the same way.
Right.
You know, and that's, you know, that's why, you know, I believe in a lot of things we try to make, you know, we try to make some kind of blanket all-consuming statement that fits for everybody, but they're all different. And one 30-year-old's not like another 30-year-old.
Exactly.
Or some guys that can, like until last year, I mean, Patrick Marleau's, his age didn't seem to matter, and then all of a sudden it mattered. But it wasn't at 31, it wasn't at 32, it was at 39 when it mattered, and that's not going to be the case for some other guys.
Yeah.
Well, Carolina Hurricanes, it kind of sounds like they might be up to their old tricks again here, because Pierre LeBrun is reporting that Carolina is now shopping Justin Falk because they met with his camp today, and I guess they didn't hear what they wanted to hear. Falk had the audacity to actually ask for, like, you know, market value and some money and some term. And now I guess he's got to be flipped, you know, which is eerily similar to what happened with Lindholm a year ago, where he had one of those meetings in the morning and then he was in Calgary by that night. So if Falk is, in fact, the one in Carolina, not Pesci, not Hamilton, he's got a year left on his deal at like 4.8, I believe. What kind of value do you think he would have?
Only difference with the value on the contract is I believe he's paid. I think his real cash is higher this year.
It is.
I think I read that.
Yeah, right? $6 million.
So that takes out a team that we'll say Arizona. That's going to take out a team like Arizona. They don't want the real cash. They want the higher cap number. But I think Justin Falk would have significant interest. The caveat is he's got 1 year left on his deal. And if I remember right, that Lindholm deal, it was Lindholm and Hanifin. Calgary got them signed within 10 days.
Yeah, quick.
For 5 and 6 years. So you'd hate, if you're going to make that deal, you have to be, I would suspect, relatively certain that you're going to be able to sign Justin Falk, that's what you would want to do, because Carolina would be pushing for a pretty significant return. And as it turned out, it was a money deal for them, but it turned out just fine. Now we'll see what happens, because it doesn't sound like they're going to sign Michael Ferland. That was one of the trade pieces. Adam Fox didn't want to sign with them. They traded him to the Rangers, so that was another one of the trade pieces. You got to look at what the return is, and can they keep those guys too? I mean, there's going to be a challenge in Carolina, because expectations will be higher, and can they be what they were this year, which was a playoff team again? But I think Falk will have value and interest for sure.
What do you make of Kyle Dubas adjusting his tune, changing his tune, where mid-season when he was asked about the threat of an offer sheet, he kind of scoffed at it and said, get out of here. Don't even bother me with that kind of stuff. We're set up. We'll match anything. I don't lose any sleep. I'm not even going to think about it. It'll be a bodily function. I'll just press accept or match. And now last night he's like, well, you have to think about it. No guarantees. Everyone's aligning that to the Marner camp, maybe the Kapanen camp. Basically a shot over the bow, like, hey, watch yourself, guys, because it isn't a guarantee you're going to be playing here if you do, in fact, go out and get that offer sheet. What do you make of that from Dubas?
I think the people discussing the offer sheet possibility have gained momentum, and it becomes, whether it's fueled by those players' camps or not, it becomes a negotiating salvo in public. And this is the rebound and the volley back from the Leafs. That, just as you said, it's, don't think just because you're going to sign an offer sheet that it's an automatic we're going to match and we're going to go happily ever after. Maybe we won't match. So it's trying to give somebody something else to think about. I remember with the offer sheet, I can't just offer sheet noodles. He's got to sign it.
Yeah.
Right? I can say, here's $8 million a year, and if he says, yeah, but I don't want to sign it, well, then it's not an offer sheet. It's just an offer. And so there's a difference. The second that player signs the offer sheet, that means he's telling you he is willing to leave. He is willing to go to a new place. And so I believe, just in those comments, it's before you sign that, you've already kind of, they've probably already been told privately that, hey, look, if we can't get this thing done, we're going to at least talk to other teams. Before you sign it, make sure, because there's no guarantee we're going to match it up.
There have been a lot of people poking and prodding me, trying to get to this new video review rules and the adjustments,
yeah,
because everyone's well aware of how I feel about it. And this is, I guess we have to wait and see it all play out. But Bettman and company, they announced it yesterday, that the league's general managers have approved lifting limits on the number of times a coach can challenge a play during the game for goalie interference, offside, and this is where it really gets sticky for me, and added the element of possible missed calls that would have resulted in a stoppage in play before a goal was scored. So they're going to have to clarify that, aren't they? Like, there's got to be parameters. Like,
Brian, I think they fall down on their nose every time on this. So instead of that last phrase, which now door for, in all of our minds, 142 different things.
Right.
Right.
And not just put down including hand pass, high stick direct pass, puck off the netting, like whatever the five or six things are, put them down. Because and I'll give you an example that I remember the very first time we had a offside challenge on a TSN game. I was, well, a game that I was doing anyway. The goal went in, and I was starting to do the highlight, and I hear in my headset from the producer, there's a challenge. And I remember thinking, for what? The guy just shot it in the net, and it was on the entry. Like, nobody had even considered, well, we hadn't considered that was a possibility, because it was never, it was only written that offside could be challenged, not that they could go back 3 minutes and check, you know, or 30 seconds and check the entry. And so the more you leave it open-ended, and it never is, it never turns out well. Close the detail off. Let us know what it is. So the fans, the most importantly, the fans don't, we'll figure it out eventually because we'll get a little more information, but that the fans aren't watching the games going, well, why are they reviewing this and why not that? And pretty soon, oh, if you review this, why don't you review that? You know it. It's going to happen.
Oh, it's a slippery slope. This is what I've been ranting and raving about.
Where's the stop?
You have to put in parameters because, like, this is so open ended. What if it's a 4 minute shift in between whistles? What if there's just back and forth?
Brian, it can't be that because the play that would. Oh, you're saying that the missed call
was 3 minutes ago.
Right, there's a hand pass. It should have been a stoppage, and it could go on for. Right, I understand.
That's what I'm saying. That would have been that's what it says here. You know, the possible for missed calls that would have resulted in a stoppage of play.
Well, you know what this says.
Two and a half minutes ago, there was a trip in the neutral zone.
This is lawyer, but it's lawyer speak.
No, not that. Not that. That my understanding, guys, that is not reviewable.
Okay, but even you know what I'm saying.
What is reviewable though is a glove pass.
Right.
Say I glove the puck to my teammate at center ice, nobody catches it for whatever reason, and the play goes on for 30 seconds and we score, they can go back to that glove pass.
Right.
That would have been a direct stop.
Which is so ridiculous.
Yeah.
And there's no way anybody wants that. Like, you can't convince me anybody wants that. It's no one shows up, no one buys a ticket for that. No. But reviewing something that happened then... That had no effect on anything? Why are we doing this again?
I think when it's cut and dry, people understand it. The minute you start to get into, I call it lawyer speak, where it's subjective and there's gray areas with it, now all you're doing is opening another can of worms. You're pushing it to a different side.
Well, and I think with this whole major penalty review, I don't quite understand why they would stop where they stopped here, because they've also, they're going to add... the ability for an official to review a major penalty.
Right.
But after the review, it has to either be a major or a minor. What if you review it and you're like, it was a complete phantom call? Why would that guy get a minor penalty?
Yeah, I the fact that they
he can't go. He can't go from 5 to 0, correct?
Well, no, he's not. That's the point. No, he can't.
Yeah,
but that's what I'm saying. If you review it and you go, oh, I totally bought, the guy didn't even touch him. Why is the guy getting
the
two?
I'll give you the example to that. You know, a guy gets hit in the face with a stick, and it's in a cluster, and it turns out it's his own teammate that hits him.
Right,
right. So nobody should get a penalty on that play.
But as I'm understanding this, that's a 5-2.
You have to still get a two.
That's where I think every time you try and, you know, make things a little bit more clear, they get a little bit more muddled because... There's always going to be one or two exceptions to this. If you want to get away us arguing about it, I still come back. I don't know if I'm right on this, but there just has to be an ounce of common sense. You're not going to get every call perfect. But what it does is give you a layer to take away the egregious ones. The Timo Meier, you know, hand pass, the Cody Eakin major penalty. Those can, just with the common sense clause where a ref gets another peek at it and goes, yeah, we missed that one. Or shot straight over the glass. Colton Parayko fires it straight over the glass. And all four refs are convened underneath the Jumbotron trying to ask each other, did that go straight out? When we're all at home and every guy in the building is watching it on the Jumbotron. It's just common sense. Like, to me, I think they're trying to do that, but there's just way too many, you know, layers to it. Well, if it doesn't do this and if it doesn't do that, I think you can simplify it and still take away a lot of these egregious calls.
Well, I've always, well, not always, I've come to this, I guess, in the last 6 months, guys, is that each time they add something to the rule book, it becomes more and more convoluted.
Right.
I believe they need to basically go back to the drawing board with the rule book. There's a bunch of rules in there that don't really make sense. They convolute over top of each other. They intertwine with other rules. Just go through, get a couple of referees, a couple of retired referees, a couple of GMs, a couple of retired GMs, a couple of players, a couple of players, recently retired players. Go through the rule book at the start of the summer, basically sweep it clean and make it of today's rules, and then start again. Because right now there's so much gray, there's so much change and possible change that the players will not understand. I can guarantee you this, because we never understood the changes a lot of times when we played. The fans won't understand. The officials will have to be on top of this, and it's bloody hard to be on top of it because things change all the time. How about just scrub it clean a little bit? And instead of adding to video review, say, these are our video review policies, whatever they might be. Because right now it's patchwork, patchwork, patchwork. It's like a house. You drive down the street and you see a guy's added onto his house four times. It paints each addition a different color. That's what the rule book is.
You know what? It's actually, it would be a brilliant idea, and they can do it. It's their league. This isn't legislated by the Supreme Court.
Just rewrite.
They could just say, you know what? We've decided. We've been around for 100 years. We've got the parameters. Like, it's not like you're going to come back and say, now no one uses sticks anymore. We've decided.
Right.
Like, you know the rules that are going to continue to be the rules. But why not rewrite it?
Simplify.
Why not upgrade your sport? Yeah, just to clarify stuff. And listen, I don't like review, but if it's going to be here, I want it to be simplified.
Cut and dry.
I want it to be cut and dry. Like, this is, again, this whole major and minor scenario, this doesn't help the ref, because the ref is still going to get hated on when he gives a minor for something that should have been nothing. Yes, it's not as bad as a five, but you're still like, if it's your home team, you're like, why did he get two?
Yeah,
like, what's the point of two if he didn't do anything? If you can review it, just say, sorry, it's nothing. Continue with play.
Wouldn't you agree this is an opportunity? Like, if they look at it as an opportunity instead of trying to patch this thing up, it's an opportunity to start clean, because we're at a new time. We never had video possibilities 15 years ago.
Right.
Well, now we do. Never mind 50 or 100 years ago. This is an opportunity to redesign it. But as you say, we're not starting with rules that we're adding rules. We're just clarifying what's there. I think there's an opportunity in this for the officials to get on the same page with the league, because they're not. Because the officials see things different than hockey operations. There's no question about that. And that's okay. But how about try to meld the two views a little bit instead of having these wildly disengaged views all try to fit into one book? It doesn't work. Or it hasn't worked anyway. And this doesn't seem to be clearing anything up.
Well, and I would throw a third and fourth party into it. You know, you can get the players involved. And I would have basically an entertainment wing that can represent fans, not in terms of fans having votes on the rules, but you talk about common sense. Someone that's in there and going, guys, like, we're in the entertainment business.
Right.
I don't think people want to pay $300 for tickets and deal with this kind of garbage. Like, take into consideration what feels right.
Do you imagine they have a grit grinder on a couch in the corner and go, what do you think of this?
Well, I'm not saying you put it up for vote for some guy on his couch, but I honestly, I don't think leagues take into consideration enough what fans really want.
Viewership,
what people watching at home and what people in the building want, because all they think of is, this is my world. Like, I only care about winning tonight, not the guy who's just here to have fun.
I'll give you one example, though, and I think you can live with it, is it took what felt like 5 hours to play that last, minute? No, the last, 4 seconds of the Raptors.
The finals.
The finals.
There's no way fans want that.
They don't want it, but they got it right. And I think that's what people will, you know, ultimately look back on, is if you get it right, I think people can be a little bit more forgiving.
Right.
Because these storylines that came out of the playoffs this year, it wasn't a good look. And that's where I think people are frustrated. I'll sacrifice 5 minutes of my personal time watching them get it right, just so that they do get it right. And I think that's, maybe I'm in the minority.
No, you're probably not. But
Noodles, I don't think you're in the minority at all. But I still think this is an opportunity to clean up.
Yeah.
All of the little loose fringe edges that just kind of sit around there that they're trying to clean up, but you'll never clean them all up because the game is the way the game is.
Well, the minute that you said going into the rule book and clarifying, I don't know how many times I've sat on a panel and a goaltender interference call has come up and we've had an internal email and, oh, this is 86.2, but in 86.1 it says this, and how does it, you know, which one is interpreted with this? And so you're almost, like I say, you're going back and if you don't have the patience to read through it all, and you almost feel like you need to be a lawyer to understand all the language in it, like it is an opportunity potentially to clean it up and make it more straightforward for everyone to understand the rule book.
I think the worst thing I read about that is the coaches can have unlimited challenges.
Yeah. Now they get penalized more, but still.
But if they keep getting it right, and they say the refs have a bad night and they challenge four times.
Yep, that's right.
Oh, seriously, here we are back to the well again.
Awful. Oh, yeah. Awful. That, and that's where my entertainment element comes into play.
Well,
who wants that?
You know,
nobody. Like, there's no way a fan wants that.
You know,
the coaches do.
Yeah, but you know, there's going to be a coach that challenges four times and loses three of them.
Let's say you're down 3-0, and it's going to be four at the end of the first. You're like, it's either over or not. I don't even care if I take it two.
Yeah,
forget it. I'm going for it because I think there's a chance.
Yeah.
And anyway, and along the entertainment thing, I can't believe they haven't got these challenges sponsored by somebody.
Yeah.
Make some money while you can.
Jiffy Lube.
You might as well. Like, today's, you know, this challenge by, you know, Fred's muffler or something or other. I don't know.
Well, you know, in color, Ray, we have the new part, the Napa new part. The guy, goalie gets pulled. In comes the Napa new part.
That's all they are, a new part.
Exactly. Capitalism, man. Take advantage. So you're not going to the draft tonight?
No, I'm going. I've got a couple of soccer things I got to take care of. But they have this new thing called the television.
Oh, yeah.
So, I'm going to follow it there. I believe it will be on television, or if I'm in the car, it'll be on the radio. So
there you go.
To it then.
Okay, well,
I'm guaranteeing 100% Ferrero lock that Hughes and Kako are the first two picks.
There you go. We'll hold you
after
to
that,
it.
I don't know. How about you guys? Anyone want to jump on that?
No, I'll go
I think
that.
Jimmy Benning makes a splash.
You're on Jimmy. Something better happen. I mean, it's the hype of the every year. It's like this. Nothing is happening.
Feathers.
The Seinfeld episode. Nothing.
I think somebody should hire Costanza to run a team.
Yes.
Then everything will happen.
Then we've got action. All right, buddy. Enjoy the weekend. We'll do it again on Monday.
Yeah, you guys have a great weekend.
There's Ray Ferraro, TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Red Tag Days are back. Purchase any new vehicle and get a $500 gift certificate to Appliance Canada, plus get rates from 0%. Visit MapleToyota.com.